Welcome to Meliora Mindset. Today, I talk to Alicia Fry. She is an athlete at the gym that I coach at and a friend. It's been really cool to see her journey and hear her story of finding CrossFit and then going on this path of nutrition, getting her Precision One nutrition. All right, friends. Welcome to Meliora Mindset, Episode 3 with Alicia Fry.
Hi.
Hello. She just took control. She has her three kids here, and she just laid down the law.
Mother of dragons.
Yes, mother of dragons. Do you want to share that story?
Oh. It's just something that I call myself, and my kids call me, and Yeah,
and you yell at people.
I do.
You yell
it
at
comes
it.
Out.
I'm the mother of dragons.
Don't you know who I am?
That's right. Story cracks me up.
I won't even use the voice right now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's
not yet.
It's crazy. Anyway, Alicia is a good friend of mine, athlete at Highlight CrossFit, and someone that has recently really gotten into the nutrition side of performance and everything. And I wanted to pick her brain and have her share her story of what it looked like to get to this point, CrossFit nutrition. So what is your story? How did you get to this point of CrossFit? What was your athletic background, possibly growing up, and how did you end up here?
Okay, so I grew up as, I would say, like an athletic childhood. I mean, I started skiing when I was 2. I was a gymnast. I played all the sports and, you know, athletics was just a part of our life. Growing up, then, like, I played sports through high school. I quit gymnastics so I could play high school sports. And then once I got to college, I did not play college sports. So then I kind of just fizzled out on athletics and fitness in general. And wasn't really taking care of myself nutrition-wise either. Like, didn't know what that looked like, didn't know anything about it. So I was like, you know, pizza, college,
yeah.
Diet.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Ramen noodles.
Yeah, ramen, pizza.
Sodium for your year in one meal.
All the good stuff.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, I got married when I was a very, very young, 21, started having babies, had 3 babies right away. Still not really taking care of myself at all, didn't know what that looked like. And decided to try Pure Barre after having my 3rd, a few months after having my 3rd, and slowly kind of started getting into that, realizing, like, oh, this feels really good to do something with my body, and kind of like waking that up again, I guess. And then I became an instructor at Pure Barre for a few years, but doing some Spartan races and some mountain races were kind of something I started dabbling in, but I realized I was lacking a lot of strength, and I knew that CrossFitters were real strong, and so I was like, hey, I'm gonna contact the CrossFit gym, see if I can like drop in, do a little strength training every once in a while. And once I dropped in, it quickly became very obvious to me about the community here and what it's like, and it's very different than anything else, and it's like a family, and it's just like this really organic, cool, like, group of people that just like genuinely love each other and want success for each other, which was new for me. And also, I just got hooked right away at, like, here's all these movements that, like, here's people doing muscle ups and all these cool things, and I'm like, yes, I want to do all the things.
Yeah.
And so I just quickly became really, really into it and really obsessed a little bit. And
as we do, as all of us, when we first start CrossFit.
Yeah, we drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. and then I kind of quickly realized that there was a big discrepancy between, like, I was coming here and working my ass off and learning all these new things and feeling strong, but then I would go home and I would, like, eat garbage and drink and, like, undo all of the hard work that I was doing. And then I was like, man, I don't feel good the next morning. I don't feel like I'm ready to work hard, and I don't feel... So I was kind of starting to connect the dots in, like, holistically, like, my whole life. And then I started... I hired a nutritional coach through Working Against Gravity 2.5 years ago. And that kind of, like, changed the whole trajectory of my life, honestly, of, like, the direction I'm going in and the direction... it just changed... So I learned how to fuel my body, and I learned what that looked like. And slowly I started learning more and more on my own as well, and then having that accountability through Working Against Gravity. And this really awesome coach, Josh Holton. And then I decided it was something that I wanted to go back to school and learn more about. And I wanted to kind of like pay it forward and start to be able to help people. And I'm like, well, if I can do this, then other people can do this. And I want to like share with people how there's something better.
Yeah.
You know, it can be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I, just actually, so it started about 1.5 years ago, but I just got my coaching certification through Precision Nutrition, for performance-based, nutrition coaching.
So when you say performance-based, there's different kinds of level ones that you can go through?
Precision nutrition is specifically focused on performance-based nutrition. Yeah, so they don't offer different certifications.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I am starting this fall semester. I'll be starting at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, which focuses on nutrition, but also just... the holistic approach to wellness, every other aspect of wellness in our lives. Like, nutrition is just one piece.
Absolutely.
It looks at, like, how are we managing stress? How are we sleeping? What are our relationships like? What is your spiritual life like? Your emotional well-being, your just everything that makes us human.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. Taking a step back and looking at the whole human organism, not just the gym or anything by itself at all is a complete picture of who someone is.
Right. Because I love nutrition and it can do so much for us. But at the end of the day, if you're not sleeping at night or you're not managing like chronic stress or dealing with trauma in your life, it doesn't really matter what you're putting in your mouth.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So that
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So we were kind of talking about the nutritional aspect, the working out, and you kind of mentioned spiritual. Let's take a step back and look at how these three things have fit together into your life. So what does you being spiritually healthy look like from before, as you're getting married, as you're having kids, to now? What did spiritually healthy look like for you?
Okay, so I grew up as a Christian. And, you know, I think like we all do, I think I've kind of been through seasons and with that ebbing and flowing. But I think just in the last couple years, I have really found kind of my center and my value, who I am and who God made me to be. And I think a big part of that is I committed to just carving out space every single day, no matter what, just carving it. And it, for me, it's just the early morning. It's the only time with three kids and a crazy life, like just in the early morning, 6 o'clock before everybody's awake, I get up and I kind of use that time to like mobilize and stretch a little bit too. And I just read my Bible, do a devotional, use that time to pray. And it is really just like, helped me to find my center and my value so much more, and it just then leaks into everything else, all my relationships, my training, my just every aspect of my life.
I agree.
Kind of
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as I haven't said this on any episode yet, but now I am a Christian as well. I didn't grow up Christian. I met the Lord in college, and I really like that, talking about carving out that time. Granted, the people who know me and that are close to me, that time has been hard for me lately. There's just been a lot of transition in my life that have made those times hard. And when they do come, like, when I'm actually reading or journaling, it is very outside of what I want to do at that point. Does that make sense? Like, it's, I have to like be very diligent, like you were saying about carving out that time. It's really hard.
It is hard.
And would you say you're an extrovert or an introvert?
That's funny. I used to think I was an extrovert, and maybe I was, but as I've gotten older and life has changed, and like, I feel like there's a lot of chaos in my life right now. There's a lot of just three boys is a lot.
And, yeah.
I really am kind of an introvert now. I really just get filled up by that quiet time and that alone time. And that's what I need to like fill my tank to then to be able to like give. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I relate to that as well. The hard part about those times for me is that I'm so extroverted and I love education. I love reading and I love like developing my craft as a coach and talking to people. And that's exactly where the hang up is reading a book to me or journaling, reading my Bible is by myself. And it's so hard for me to just sit somewhere quietly and not be distracted. Mm-hmm. I can even think of the quiet times that I had in college, distracted the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like I'd read a little bit, look at my phone, read a little bit. That's something that I have to really be diligent about as far as like attention.
And that's how, and sleep is so valuable to me too. So that's really hard for me to wake up early. And, but I feel like us sacrificing that time is a form of worship by we're like, we're going to give this something that's so valuable and so important to us. We're going to give this to you, Lord. What can you do with it?
That's really cool. I'm glad you talked about that. So let's talk about someone who had grown up in sports, gymnastics, as you're saying, them being really important and that transition of getting married and kind of not having that outlet. What did that time look like for you? Were you aware that you were missing this part of your life? Were you, I don't know how else to word that. Did you just realize that that part of your life was missing having had it?
No. I did not realize, like, I really didn't. I feel like I slowly I was just so excited to, like, be married and start this whole season of life and be a mom and have babies. And as it happened, and, you know, there was a good like 6 years of my life where I was pregnant and nursing. And so I taught third grade before I had my babies, and then I chose to stay home with them. And so it just being a stay-at-home mom and being in that season of life is really hard. And it's like an amazing blessing that I was able to do that. But it is one of the most tediously like just mind-numbing, challenging jobs. And I feel like I didn't know what I was missing at the time, but I knew I felt just like this heavy stress and this heavy like kind of anxiety. And I did have some postpartum depression after my third baby as well.
The Russian who is six.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I feel like I didn't know that I was kind of losing who I was, but that's kind of the things that I didn't have, like, I just gave and gave and gave and gave, and I didn't stop to think about what's filling me up and what's, like, because I was just so ready to be a mom and so ready to give, and but I didn't slow down enough to realize that I have to be taking care of myself and filling my tank in order to give that much of yourself. And so I kind of would manage stress with food, using that as like just comfort, stress management, and drinking. And that just became like the way that I would cope, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it felt, because it feels good to have some wine at the end of the day or to have ice cream or to like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that in moderation, but that was just like my everyday coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And so once I kind of started like Pure Bar and then CrossFit, and I was like waking up a part of myself that had been like dormant, you know, and I'm like, oh, this feels so good. And I don't need these coping mechanisms that are just filling up an empty hole. Like, I feel like coming back to my spiritual center and being able to do these things for myself and find my strength. I was kind of coming back to my roots and finding out who I'm created to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I'm a much better mom and much better wife because of it.
I really appreciate that you share that, because I think that obviously I can never be a mom. I have friends that are moms. Last episode we talked about Brittany being a new mom. But I think there's a lot of wisdom in what you had just said about losing yourself and giving so much and being lucky to be that stay-at-home mom, but how exhausting it is. What did it feel like to almost draw those boundaries to say, like, this is what I need for myself? Or would you even describe it like that?
I think it just kind of slowly happened over time, and it definitely created some rough patches, because I would say me now compared to me 3 years ago, I'm like two different people.
Yeah.
So that's challenging in a marriage, to like be married to a completely different person. So I think, yeah, there wasn't like one particular event or anything, but I think over that time it did, you know, take some adjustment.
Absolutely.
Too. And I am married to such a rad guy, and he is just like, whatever you need to do to feel fulfilled and to be happy, like, do it. If you want to be a competitive CrossFit athlete, I'm going to be here to support you and help you make that happen. If you want to, you know, he's like, because I think he just sees how much happier I am, how much more patient I am, how much more, he's like, oh, this is awesome, you know? So he's like, yeah, do what you need to do.
Cool.
Super supportive. So that's pretty cool.
That is super cool. And what does that do for your goals as far as like CrossFit right now?
Him being supportive, or what do you mean?
Just what are your goals?
Oh, what are my goals right now?
Let's talk CrossFit and then we'll get into nutrition a little bit.
Okay. So right now, I qualified for the Dakota Games, which is in it's not a sanctioned CrossFit event, but CrossFit is sponsoring it. So it's like weird.
It's not like quite a
stepchild of sanctioned events.
That's a really good way to put it, actually.
I don't really know. But it's a big, big regional event. You know, when I qualified for that as an individual master's athlete. So I'm 37. I'm a master's athlete. So, so as an individual, they accept 15 individual women, 35 to 39. So I will get to go compete in September for that. And that's huge. I love, there aren't any opportunities to compete individually in Montana. So I'm really excited to get to do that.
Yeah.
Eventually, I mean, I'm just chipping away, trying to get stronger, get better. I've only been at it for 3 years. So,
yeah.
But I would love to be able to make it as a master's athlete to the games someday.
Absolutely. But, that'd be really cool.
I mean, don't we all?
I mean, not everybody.
That's true.
You got to work for it, right?
Yeah.
And you work hard. So then that leaves us with nutrition. Man, I think there's so many things that people can go online right now. Google, health, fitness, nutrition especially. And it's all so overwhelming. I mean, I've been in CrossFit for 8 years.
Really?
Yeah. I've been doing CrossFit for 8 years, since 2012. I quit all sports my senior year of high school, and I started at Copper City. Because at first...
You drank the Kool-Aid.
I really did. I was, at that point, extreme sports were my thing. But then I was like, no, I really actually like CrossFit. And that's when I got into Olympic lifting, really attending seminars, learning how to do that well. But, like I said, I think... Maybe it's arguable, but maybe nutrition is the most confusing part for people.
Yeah.
What would you, if you have, no, let me rephrase this. What was the most eye-opening thing being coached with the nutrition?
The most eye-opening it was like, just like, that I had no idea how good I could feel. I wasn't eating nearly enough protein. I think most women are probably not eating enough protein. And it was just like, and when you're coming in here and just, you know, redlining all the time and you're lifting heavy weights and you're not eating enough protein, you're not allowing your muscles to recover and gain strength. And so I felt like a new person once I started eating adequate amounts of protein and carbs, and I just didn't know how good I could feel. That was really fun that you could do that with what you eat. Like, that was really cool.
That you can control that. Mm-hmm. That's been really interesting for me too, as I've done a couple different, worked with a couple different nutritionists at this point, but it's been really exciting to be able to see, to play with your diet. I mean, honestly, the simple thing in college that I did was I started having a smoothie. Seriously, for like lunch, and like adding that fruit made me feel so much better. It's crazy. That's
right.
Like, those little things really just changed how I felt.
And I had no idea what a nutritionally poor diet I had. Like, I was just lacking so much. I had no idea, you know, and I just had no idea how crappy I felt. I thought, this is just like being a human. This is just what we feel like.
Yeah.
I had no idea how good you can feel. So that was probably the most eye-opening thing.
Sure. I mean, there was a point in my life where I thought lasagna was eating healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Like, eating lasagna once a week. Oh,
I mean, to like everything else you were eating, it probably was. Like, right?
Well,
you
know what I mean? I mean, at this point, looking back, that's a big negative. It was not. Lasagna every week is fine. It's really easy, super healthy. It's one of my favorite meals, but certainly was not what I should have been doing. Mm-hmm. So, as far as like, you're officially done with the precision nutrition, level one. And now you're going to school. What was that school again that you were saying?
Institute for Integrative Nutrition.
That's a year process.
Yeah, probably about a year.
Is that as like your own pace kind of thing as well?
Sort of, yeah. Not as much as Precision was. Precision Nutrition was awesome because I was able to like completely do it in my own time. You know, just work around my family. This one is like each week, you know, they will kind of release like, here's what you'll be doing this week. Here's your lectures. Here's your tests. So I still have to stay kind of on a track.
Yeah. But how is that going to further your education? What are you expecting out of this next year of education and nutrition?
I guess, you know, I'm just hoping to learn a lot more about like the psychological side of it, the emotional side, and just be able to integrate it into our life as a whole, not just compartmentalizing nutrition as being like, here's what you eat. This is in a box over here, and it's apart from everything else, because it's not. And so I guess what I'm hoping is just being able to help people approach it in a way, just looking at your life as a whole, as you as a whole human being, encompassing every single part of you and not taking out little pieces and compartmentalizing them and labeling them, and like, just each person is so unique, and they call it like bioindividuality, you know, like, and that's why not one diet works for everybody, you know. That's why each person is so unique. Each person needs to eat different ways, and so that's what I'm hoping to be able to be for people, is to be someone who can look at your life as a whole and be like, what's the best way to eat for you? What are your goals? What are your goals relationally, physically, emotionally, you know, body-wise, like, and just be able to kind of just customize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So as you think, it really feels to me like you found, I mean, you've been passionate about a lot of things, but it feels like nutrition and that holistic view of it is really like where you found yourself. It seems like you're excited about it, and it's something that you have this vision for what you'd want to do for people. As you think about finishing this next year of education after you're, you know, with your level one and finishing this next year. What do you hope to be doing for people in the next year, next 5, 10 years, as of right now? Like, if you could dream about, if you could do anything for other people or yourself with nutrition, like, what would that look like?
I think, you know, just helping people live, like, I don't want to sound cliche, but like living life in being like the best version of themselves. I feel like I missed out on a lot of life because I was neglecting so much, and like there was just so much of life that I was missing out on because I wasn't taking care of myself, I wasn't managing stress, I wasn't sleeping well, I wasn't, you know, dealing with certain relationships, and it would be so cool to be able to help people just be the best versions of themselves. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the best way to, so not just physically and like what you eat and just all encompassing.
Yeah.
And even like the way people like just approach fitness, like just especially mindset and the way you think of things and the way we talk to ourselves. It's crazy. I was listening to, it was either an article or a podcast, I can't remember. And they were talking about like our inner dialogue. Like we barely even notice the way we talk to ourselves, and we are the number one voice and the number one influence we have on ourselves, and our mindset is our own self. And we barely even recognize the things we're saying to ourselves.
Yeah.
And there's so much power in the way we change the way we speak to ourselves, in not only in your mindset and your emotional wellness, but it also has actual physical results on your gut, your microbiome, your physical performance, your sleep, everything.
It does.
It's crazy.
It's been something really fun to implement with my own athletes, personally, not clients of Highlight CrossFit, people that I program for personally. As I see them do a movement, or even people in class, honestly, if I see them do a movement like a clean and they stand it up and like shake their heads and beating them up, I say, no self-coaching. You know, what I'm here for is to correct your movement. You're not allowed to give up on the movement. When you caught the clean and stood it up and you're shaking your head already, what are you doing? One thing that it's the Unlifted course, Mike Bledsoe and Mark England. Doing the Strong Coach mentorship, we got access to that as well. And the Strong Coach is so involved already. I just tried to start Unlifted while I was doing it, but it's all about language and mindset like that.
Oh, cool.
And what is really, it was literally like the first lesson in talking about the person that's like, do it, you little bitch. Like telling those things to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It's like short term that might work for you, but that's a really good way to practice hating yourself in the long run. And you're just, all you're doing is practicing hating yourself. Mm-hmm. Telling yourself those things. And it's funny how often I see that in class now, and as I've been paying attention to people that are like giving up on a lift as it's happening when it was fine, or well, not fine, you know, there's always something to improve, right? But just like so critical of themselves, I think.
Yeah, the other day I busted myself. We were doing split jerks and I was like, oh, I suck at split jerks. Just like talking to myself, like,
that negative self-talk.
This is my worst movement, I suck at this. And then I caught myself because I'm trying to become more aware of it. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. No, because I would never dream of saying that to my training partner or one of my friends or someone, anybody at the gym. Never dream of it. So I was like, okay, I am getting stronger at split jerks. This is something I'm working on. And like just changing the way I talked to myself about it.
It's crazy.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's crazy that you even said that, because that reminded me of that same lesson. It's like, imagine saying that to someone that would look up to you.
Right.
Would you ever say that to your daughter,
I think about my kids.
Friend,
yeah, I'm
your
like,
kids.
I would never talk to my kids that way. So why on earth am I talking to myself that way?
Wow.
That's, yeah.
Cool. I think I realized when I saw you at that Coalition for Collaborative Care, that mm-hmm. kind of holistic thing that you spoke at, that you were on this track, but I didn't know it was this far developed, that you'd been thinking about these things so deeply. So I'm really excited that we had this conversation. Cool. And I think there's more, I mean, honestly, more conversations that the two of us could have, but yeah. I think that's a good episode for the first of Alicia Fry, but I would expect to talk about more things, especially as you go through this nutrition, education, and thinking more holistically. Gets me really excited, because that's the part of this podcast, right? Meliora, ever better.
Yeah.
It's the point of why I started this.
I know, I love it.
Cool. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate you.
Yeah. The dragons didn't even come out.
No, so. They didn't. No, you were nervous for a second. They were swinging the rope around for a second. Emerson and the dragon, or the Russian, excuse me, looked like they were going to start fighting a little bit. I could see you get nervous. But anyway, thanks, Alicia.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.